Pay It Forward. This is the title to a movie that was released in the year 2000. And the title inspired observing what has been written about in the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings that are along the same theme. A teacher in a school that was teaching the seventh grade class assigned a project on the first day of class, and he said that it would continue throughout the entire grade, and that any time someone had an idea that could fulfill the request or the theme of the project could turn it in any day throughout the year, and they would get extra credit for it. He implied that if they did not turn in anything that addressed the theme of the project, that they would likely get no better than a C grade. The project was this. Think of a way that you could do something and actually do it that would improve the world. One of the students came up with the idea that one should do something good to help three different people. The way to help them would be individualized, but the idea is that one would be alert to what an individual needed and to supply that need. And when you did, you would tell the individual that they had a responsibility to do the same thing for three different people. So therefore, this would amplify so that if you help three people, they would end up helping three people, so a total of 12 people would be helped. The three that you helped, and then three of each of the other three would be helped. And then it would continue on that every time somebody helps someone, that they would indicate that the one they help should do the same thing ad infinitum, with no limit. Thinking about the life of Christ Jesus, throughout his entire life, he helped other people. Now, there's very little written about the time for his young youth until the age of 30, and then resuming at age 30, he gave us the foundation for Christianity. So he did not just help three people and quit, but the entire record of his life indicates that he was continuously paying it forward. He wasn't paying anyone back that had done something good for him, but he continuously had in thought to be alert and fulfill the need of other people. Mary Baker Eddy's life also was filled with paying it forward. The top practitioners, of which there is a recorded record of their activities, including their healings, indicate that they devoted their life to paying it forward also. Mary Baker Eddy stated that she wished, in retrospect, that she had recorded all of the healings in which she was involved. And she encouraged everyone to keep a record of their healings, whether it was about themselves or helping someone else. Publishing an article, or writing a book, or having a website where you are promoting the truth as represented by Christian Science, are a few different ways in which one can be paying it forward. There are numerous opportunities, likely every day, if one is communicating with others, that they can be alert to and perhaps be involved in paying it forward. And one of the many beauties is that what may appear to be a big problem for one person could be possibly solved by another one with ease. When one is looking with a myopic viewpoint about their own problem, the solution could be obvious to someone that is not so close to the situation, for they have a much more objective basis on which to view it. Imagine what our world would be like right now on planet Earth is if in the year 2000, everyone would make an attempt to pay it forward. We would be living and recognizing it, experiencing heaven on earth. In fact, in far less time than 23 years, it would be almost an instant transformation. Instead of the news filled with all kinds of evils and rile up everyone's emotions, it would be having the opposite effect. It would neutralize all problems for everyone. There would be no homeless. There would be no unemployed. There would be no failures, whether it was an individual, a group, a business, or anything else. Everyone with a wholesome attitude toward paying it forward would be contributing to eradicating evil from the face of planet Earth. In far less time than 20 years, it would be accomplished. Just that one thing. Think of it as the golden rule. Would one like to receive assistance that they feel they badly need, no matter who it was coming from or who was involved in making it happen? Mary Baker Eddy set up the Committee on Publication for the very purpose of monitoring the news about Christian Science and correcting anything that was improperly stated. In other words, expose the lie and bring forth the truth that is the exact topic on which the lie was published. Mary Baker Eddy stopped throughout the day to examine her thought, speech, and action to make sure she was only promoting good. She was only thinking about good. She was only thinking about others in their goodness. Not mistakes, not criticisms, not complaining about the world or anything in it, but the opposite, emphasizing the good, the truth about the real man, the real universe, reality in totality. She also specifically prayed three times a day for all humanity. She prayed in terms that the sick would be taken care of and healed, as well as the sin would be exposed and eradicated. And she said she would face the new Jerusalem. So her attitude was one of love and caring spiritual love, impersonal love. Daniel risked his life praying three times a day, for he was well aware that the edict by the king was that if one was worshiping anything or anyone besides the king, that they would be thrown into a den of lions. That did not deter him from doing what he felt was correct to do. So he continued to pray three times a day. But he didn't have any loss as a result of that, but certainly a gain. For he proved that the lions' mouths were closed and could not harm truth, of which he was a symbol. He was actually friends with the king, and the king rushed to the den of lions the next morning, inquiring as to whether or not Daniel was okay or whether he had been killed. John was also facing death, and he chose to go into the pit of boiling oil, expecting to be saved by his purity, and he was. When they realized they couldn't kill him, they expelled him to the island of Patmos. And because of his loyalty to the Christ consciousness, Jesus appeared to him and dictated the book of Revelation. And of course, that has paid it forward to everyone that reads it. Mary Baker Eddy included, as the last chapter of Science and Health, 100 pages of testimonies of healing that have been verified. Not only do all of her writings apply as paying it forward for Mary Baker Eddy, but the entire Christian Science movement that she began, and specifically those 100 pages of testimonies of healing from 85 different individuals, include 465 healings. In many cases, each one having multiple healings when they were only thinking about healing one item. But when that one item was healed, they realized that all of these other problems that they were not even thinking about were healed as well. Because our experience aligns itself with the truth when we are focusing on the truth. Not focusing on the healing, not focusing on the benefits, but when we seek God and His righteousness first, then all of these other things are added to us, to our experience, which not only benefits ourselves, but benefits everyone, because spirit is the only substance and spirit is reflective. So we reflect out into the universe of goodness all of the benefits that we receive, and those help other people that are receptive to that particular topic. If one would search on the internet on the topic of Christian Science, they would find much more evil that is published than truth. The so-called forces of evil does everything possible to lie about Christian Science, to lie about any good, to lie about truth. It tries to mock truth and take credit for that being evil instead of, in reality, truth. Each one has to individually realize their responsibility to expose evil and correct it with the truth. Mary Baker Eddy had very little support when she was here on earth, and she was facing combative forces from her own board of directors and many people that were in the movement. Those who had the best record of healing were the ones that were topics of jealousy and resentment, many of them being excommunicated from the church. Specific physical and mental attacks were directed toward those who were the most successful. One individual had consistent healings for 16 years with an office right across the street from the mother church. And the other practitioners that were having little or no success became so jealous that they demanded from the church officials to expel him from the city. No one was going to their offices, and he had his waiting room filled with people, and he utilized 15-minute time frames for appointments. And on the most part, everyone was healed within the end of the 15-minute period. The appointments were only 15 minutes apart, and during that time, there was a transformation within the individual's consciousness about their own true sense, their own true self. As did many others, he left the city and started his own group. And as with many others, he was not permitted to even mention Mary Baker Eddy's name. But everything that he was doing was basically an outgrowth of his understanding of Christian Science. Several decades of study were devoted to what Mary Baker Eddy said by other ones. In her statement on page 146 about divine metaphysics, it is at the top of every page in the header on the website of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which is mbeinstitute.org. And this is what it says. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Again, that is on page 146, down at the bottom, starting with line 31, of the Christian Science textbook. How many that call themselves Christian Scientists paid attention to what that sentence is? Amazing. Very few even realize that it's in the textbook, and yet they've probably read it many times. If we ignore it, we are ignoring the same thing that we would be doing if we tried to perform mathematical calculations without understanding the principles of mathematics. One has to understand that there are 10 digits, which are the basic elements of mathematics, and there's 4 operators, which are called add, subtract, multiply, and divide. One can get nowhere in mathematics unless they understand those 2 factors. The same with music. Music has 8 notes that are related to the white keys of A through G, and 5 black notes, which are related to the sharps and the flats. There are rules of music, operators, variations, all different elements that are part of creating a musical production. If one doesn't understand the principles of music, they can get nowhere in studying music or performing it correctly. And one couldn't even begin to be creative in creating music unless they understood those principles. Everything in life has its own principle. Whether one is a homemaker or a rocket scientist, a chemist, a physicist, a business owner, doesn't matter what one's hobby is, avocation, profession, or anything that's of interest to that individual, if they don't understand that there's a principle that's involved, then they will not get very far. If they understand not only that there is a principle involved, but they strive to learn and understand the principles that affect what they're doing, then instead of reinventing the wheel, they start with the wheel that is already invented and understand how it operates and then move forward from there. With the internet, which is a major tool in overcoming time and space, one has such opportunity to learn quickly almost any topic that is their endeavor. And so much is free on the internet. Of course, one has to understand what free means, and that is that it's not really free. It just means that there may not be any requirement to pay a currency in order to have access to it. But really, nothing is ever free. We must invest something in it. It may be to make a donation. It's not required, but there's a way to do it. Maybe just an item in the menu that says donation. Or it could be subscribing to the professional version of something that they receive for free for an amateur version or one with fewer features. How about the investment of time? That is an investment. That doesn't mean that it is free. That means the opposite, that we can only benefit from it if we put something into it. I talked to a longtime acquaintance that I had known, two or three decades. And I asked him if he ever went to our website, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website. And he said, "Oh, I'm on it every day." He says, he was married, and he said, we've downloaded everything you've got, and we're always listening to something. It wasn't more than a few weeks after that, and by the way, he had never donated anything to the website, ever, and it was only a few weeks after that that he contacted us and asked for a donation to him personally. Said he was having a very difficult time, and he was wondering if we could help. We sent him $100. It's not a lot, but we did it, and there was, the right motive when we sent it. We paid it forward. Someone was in need, and in fact, so desperate that they had to actually call us and solicit it. And so we did it. How about people on the street? Mary Baker Eddy asked one of her students that when they were walking down the street and they saw somebody that looked like they were homeless or somebody that was having a difficult time or someone that was frowning, what did they do about it? And the individual thought about it. And she said, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" And the individual said, "No, I am not." He had thought he was a Christian Scientist, but what that meant to him was sticking his nose in the books and reading for a certain period of time each day. He wasn't practicing what he was supposed to be learning from his reading. Love thy neighbor as thyself is the second commandment of Christ Jesus. When asked by his disciples what's the most important commandment, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and so forth. And he said, the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. They didn't ask for the first two commandments, the two best, or the two most important, but he connected them. He said, the second is like unto it. So if we are loving God, we have to be loving each one individually, and all mankind, and every group. Otherwise, we're not loving. Love is impersonal. If we want to be loving, we have to be loving without anything to do with an individual's individual character. We have to be doing what Mary Baker Eddy was doing multiple times a day, just stopping what she was doing and making sure that her thoughts were wholesome about everything and everyone. Dr. Fluno was one of Mary Baker Eddy's early students, and he wrote a letter called Criticism, or he wrote, I guess you could call it an article, only a page and a half long, but it is called Criticism. It is on our homepage right now, and if it's not there when you happen to listen to this and go to look for it, all you have to do is go to the authors and then click on F for the alphabet, and select Dr. Fluno. It's about a 5-minute video audio that was made reading the article. And of course, it's in text form, which is about, as indicated, a page and a half. Probably one of the most important page and a half articles you can read on the entire website. That was exactly what Mary Baker Eddy was doing, what that article is professing that we all should do. We have three little phrases that are posted on the website with the note of the title of Criticism, and it says, creates all trouble, evil, prevents progress, prevents experiencing heaven. That covers it all. Criticism is going to be the absolute biggest volcano that we could fall into. Multiple times a day, Mary Baker Eddy stopped what she was doing to make sure she was not criticizing, that she was not thinking in a critical manner about anyone or anything. And remember, she was being constantly attacked by her own board of directors, by the officials of the church. She was sued by her own son and other people. And believe it or not, the title of the suit was the next friend's suit. Friends. With those kind of friends, who needs an enemy? And they considered themselves friends of Christian Science, friends of Mary Baker Eddy. They wanted to have her committed to an insane asylum. Can you imagine? It takes a pretty wide avenue of imagination to think that that could be Christianity at work. It was the devil. It was evil, the widest concept of imagination, which had no good purpose in mind. They sent specialists that were to examine the mind of an individual by giving them specific questions and having conversation with them to decide whether or not they were insane or not. And when they finished They said she was one of the most astute people that anyone could imagine ever conversing with or observing. And she was about 90 at the time in historical age, according to the Christian calendar. At that age, she could read without glasses, the fine print on a bond. Bonds have very small print at the bottom, as do many contracts. They're required to have certain things in there, but they want to make the print so small that people won't bother reading it. She could read it without glasses. The system of divine metaphysics that is referred to on page 146 of Science and Health, previously discussed in this recording, is exactly what we discuss in our treatments. We basically teach the system of divine metaphysics and how to heal in our treatments. There's over 100 treatments that are all extemporaneous, and there are more added every week. Also, most of the items have music that are related to the topic of the treatment. Mary Baker Eddy emphasizes the need for joy. Wentworth Winslow, another one of our very successful practitioners that we promote on the website with his articles, said that every morning when he wakes up, he opens his day by singing several hymns. He said he doesn't know what his neighbors might think about it. Apparently he sang where they could hear it. He said, but I do it. And he felt it gave him a foundation that was spiritual in nature to get him started off on the right foot. The foot of the Christ consciousness, the foot of truth, the foot where God, which is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and also which is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction. That's a definition from the glossary, which is chapter 17, under the word good. And the first is from page 465. The first one was page 587 in the glossary. And the one that is the definition of God is from page 465 in chapter 14, which is recapitulation, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters. The glossary is a part of the Key to the Scriptures, which is chapter 15 through 18. And chapter 18 is the one that has the testimonies of healing. The introductory quotes to the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, are very important because this lays the groundwork on what Christian Science is all about. The first one is a quote from John chapter 8, and it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free of what? Free of the belief that material life controls everything. Free from realizing and confirming that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. Freedom of our entire experience from that harnessing belief that has been promulgated century after century throughout the history of mankind. The second quote is from Shakespeare. It says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Mr. Frederick L. Rawson, another very successful practitioner, who wrote a book that is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. It includes a list of 1,315 different ailments and the specific counterfact that one can work with to heal the ailment. It is an encyclopedia of solutions. And he also gives specific ideas on how one might conduct the treatment. Extremely valuable book. If one reads his bio, they will understand that he excelled in everything he did. People came from all over the world to have him solve problems regarding electricity. Mary Baker Eddy points out the importance of understanding what electricity is all about, because she says it is the most ethereal of all forms of matter, which means that it is very hard to detect. One needs to really view life with the spiritual senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, because the physical senses, which are based on matter being reality, don't do the trick. They expose nothing of true reality, whereas the spiritual senses identify everything that is real. We're blind to it if we use the material senses. We are astutely aware of it when we use the spiritual senses, the real senses, the senses that we reflect from the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. On page 587, there's another definition of God that says that God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. So at the end, she gives that extra thrust, reminding us that God is the only intelligence and the only substance. Even though intelligence is a part of mind and substance is spirit, she just adds it as an extra reminder and a thrust. The title to this recording is Pay It Forward. Will we learn the value of paying it forward? In other words, living the golden rule, being alert to those people in need, and seeing if there's any way we can help. Is there any way we can pay it forward to that individual? Don't worry about what we will get back. Think about what Solomon gave us. The man who apparently was the most wealthy man in the world, even in today's terms, compared to what is advertised as the most wealthy man right now. The only thing that King Solomon wanted was to be able to treat his people fairly and honestly and have good judgment so that he could do that. That's all he asked for. That's all he prayed to God for. And in return, God not only made him a man of wisdom and intelligence and knowing, but also the wealthiest man in terms of the conveniences of life. we need to remember one of the key things that Mary Baker Eddy gave us, and of course that came from the Bible, which is that God is all in all. The first all being a capital A, which means source. The second all being a lowercase a, which means manifestation. And of course, the source includes its manifestation. For the manifestation without the source would be without identity. And a source without a manifestation would have no proof it is a source of anything. It would not be a source. When human experience aligns itself with truth, with a capital T, and here I just want to mention that Mary Baker Eddy devised a new language by using capital letters, and when she uses a capital letter, it means God. When it's a lowercase letter, then it is a relative thing referring to humanity. So when human experience, which is humanity, aligns itself with truth, with a capital T, and everything that is a conflict with God, everything that is a dis-ease, no matter what form it takes, it could be sin, sickness, or even death, any kind of a relationship whatsoever, whether it is regarding an individual, an event, or whatever. But when the truth is recognized as being the controlling power, then all conflict is dissolved. It evaporates. It has no more recognition. It is without identity, because it means that we have shifted from a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter to spiritual reality where everything is God. The first three quotes at the beginning of Science and Health that I referred to just partially, I mentioned the first one about being from John, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is from Shakespeare, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is from Mary Baker Eddy, and it says, "Oh, thou art blessed. That is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere." So, number one, we have to cultivate our understanding of the truth. Number two, we have to realize that our understanding and our experience is going to be based on our thoughts. If we are thinking the Christ consciousness, then we are going to have the benefit of heaven here on earth, here and now. The Bible states that the kingdom of God is within us, within each one of us. That means it's within our consciousness. That's the only way it can be ever present. Omnipresence is only if it is within consciousness. When they were researching how to split the atom, and they kept splitting it in smaller and smaller parts, they eventually realized that there was nothing left but the consciousness of the people that were observing it. Quantum physics, which was discovered around 1900, revealed that there is no matter. And they said the only thing that exists is energy that is vibrating at enormous speeds that makes it feel like matter, makes it feel like it's opaque, makes it appear to be opaque. It was discovered that we're basically not living in a earth that is matter, but it is an electromagnetic field. In Mr. Rawson's research about electricity, he discovered that when we correct our thinking about truth, that we actually change the magnetic field that is within our own physical body, or what appears to be a physical body. And he could measure the currents, and he could see that the negative currents were shorted out by the positive thoughts of truth that were being cultivated in consciousness. And that is what brought about the healing. That is why the physical appearance changed. I know of someone that was born with supposedly an incurable ailment where they were not supposed to be able to learn anything or remember anything. And they had special characteristics of the way their appearance was, with their face and everything, and the way their mannerisms. This individual was involved as a part of a Christian Science family, and they went to a practitioner, and the practitioner said, the first thing you want to do is teach the individual how to read. And the parents said, really? We were told that they could never learn to do anything like that. She said, teach them how to read. So they arranged for lessons, and the mother was involved. The father was busy in business, but the mother was involved in helping, and they had a teacher that was teaching the child how to read. And at a very young age, I think it was like 3 years old or something, the child could read. This was a long time ago in the mid 1900s, around 60 or 70. And then they taught her music. And she had daily music lessons and could play all of the hymns in the Christian Science hymnal up to about 3 flats and 3 sharps. And then because of a change in the family, they ended up moving. And the distance from where they were going to be moving to, they needed to sell the piano. And so the lessons ceased at that point, or she probably would have been able to continue right on. But at a very young age, she was able to play all of the pieces. They bought her a set of books that were the classics. I don't know, 30 or 40 volumes of books. She read them all. She loved them. She studied the Christian Science lesson on a daily basis. She would stand up in church, they told us, and give an absolutely extemporaneous testimony. And in one of them, she used the scientific statement of being. And where it says there's no life, truth, or intelligence in matter, she substituted the word of whatever the problem seemed to be, instead of saying matter. She would say there's no life, truth, and intelligence or substance in, and then she stated the ailment. And all throughout the scientific statement that she was relating, she was extemporaneously substituting the term for the problem. And then when it said man is his image and likeness, she'd say, I am God's image and likeness. Utilizing that scientific statement of being healed the problem that she was relating. They sent a picture of her to me before and after the healing. And her actual bone structure and her appearance of her head changed. It no longer had the appearance of someone that had the problem that she was deemed to be born with. Oh, they also mentioned that right after birth, they had a practitioner attend the situation. And he said to keep track of everything the medical people tell you. And the parents said, well, why would we do that? Wouldn't that just be making it more real? And the practitioner said, no, that will prove to you that the medicine is not a science, because they keep changing everything. They change the goalpost. They change their opinion. And there's nothing that is fixed about it. And sure enough, that's what they did. And they gave me a few instances of where that was the case. I was good friends with everybody involved, and so they kept me informed as like one of the family. She rode a bicycle. She was an excellent swimmer, swam like a fish. She was in acrobatics. Amazing, the acrobatics. She had a tremendous sense of balance. It was a total transformation from a belief that was a universal belief to a total evaporation of the belief. They certainly proved that there is nothing but God. They proved that God is all in all, that the manifestation of God was included in the source, that their daughter was reflecting truth with a capital T, which brought about the healing. The reason in chapter 18 of Signs and Health that there are 85 people, but 485, I believe it is, ailments, is that people had things healed that they were not even thinking about when they were studying. They basically had one particular ailment that they were trying to address. But of course, their real focus was not on that one ailment, but it was on seeking the kingdom of God first. Seeking God and His righteousness. And then they had all these other things that were manifested, the healings of all these other things. God is all in all. There is nothing but God. Amen.